Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast, part of the center's efforts to cultivate dialogue about university teaching and learning among faculty, students, and staff. I'm your host, Rhett McDaniel, educational technologist here at the Center for Teaching. In this episode, we feature a panel discussion with Mark Dahlhouse, faculty head of East House and director for the Office of Active Citizenship and Service, Joseph Webby, associate professor of special education, and Rourke Luskin, class of 2012 sophomore student. The conversation focuses around answering two questions. Should Vanderbilt faculty and staff try to engage first-year students in critical thinking about their own ethics, values, and culture, or should we give up on that as a lost cause and focus more on practical matters?
Mark, you want to start with
this? Sure.
Thanks for the opportunity to participate in this. And I guess to contextualize my approach to this, I am a rather unique position in that I live with first-year students on a daily basis, and I also teach them in first-year writing seminars, so I see them inside the classroom and out. And I'm able to interact with them in a variety of very informal settings, as well as more structured settings, I guess. And I found this the work to be very provocative, and it certainly made me go back and think about these questions and how the experience I've had, which is what I bring to the table, matches up or doesn't with some of these questions that are posed. Can we just move through the questions? Or yeah, I live in a house with 102 students, and so that's my perspective, if you will, and I'm connected through my colleagues to the larger community on the commons. But I would have to say, in just kind of moving through the questions, that the first one strikes me is that's a pretty broad, sweeping statement that I don't find anecdotally to be in line with the students that I'm encountering in East House and elsewhere in the commons. I think there are probably a group that I think is actually smaller that arrives with this kind of lockstep mentality with the lockbox, which makes me think of Al Gore when I read that from the 2000 debates. But I would say one of the things that shapes my approach and answer to that question is the number of informal discussions and interactions that I've been able to have in my role as a head of house with students, and to become acquainted with really the diversity of perspectives that they bring. And what I find to be really kind of a hunger to question some of these core identities. I would say that at their stage of development, and I'm not an expert on that, but it strikes me as that much of it is yet unformed. It's not structured, but I find it to be there. And I base that on some of we in East House, and most other houses have some incarnation of this. But once a week we have in East House what we call a fireside chat with hot chocolate and cookies. And I have been amazed at how well I've been able to get to know residents through such an informal kind of structure. And out of actually many of those conversations, I find a lot of questioning going on. I also found that to be the case, and I'm hoping to talk about this later, in the Commons course that I taught last year, which is an up-and-coming concept in the Commons and one that's gathering speed in terms of providing academic outlets for some of these questions. So I found it to be, I think the sentiment is there with many of the students that I meet, and I would like to think that it's a smaller number, a diminished number, who arrive with that sort of lockstep approach to their own identity. Moving down also, I would say, secondly, an emphatic yes to the question, should Vanderbilt faculty and students try to engage first-year, or faculty and staff engage first-year students in critical thinking about these things. And interestingly, when I reflected upon the question, to juxtapose that against a separate realm of daily management and communication skills, actually, on the contrary, I think in some ways these can go hand in hand, particularly with communication skills. And as they interact with students from different perspectives and different backgrounds and different belief systems, just in the day-to-day course of living out their lives and learning how to navigate their way around Vanderbilt. And I think, and one of the things I found true to be in the Commons, and I think one of the chief strengths of it, is that there are a number of serendipitous moments that are provided at any point along the way that enable students to sharpen students in these discussions, or faculty heads, or RAs, or viewceptors, to interact with students and pursue these questions. So the mundane, I think, can become a springboard to these larger considerations. And I have found that to be the case. I wanted to make a pitch for the Commons courses because I taught one, and because this year there's such an interesting array of options that are offered that I think are a vehicle for approaching teaching first-year students. But to share this one anecdote with you, and then I'll pass it on, I had an interesting conversation with a first-year student, and not in my house, but who was in my first-year writing seminar this past semester. And one of the texts that was assigned was John Lewis's autobiography, and of his time as a student here in Nashville, and of his involvement in the civil rights movement at the time. And the student told me that it was interesting to him how the academic experience that he had with me reinforced some of the questions he was discussing and debating in his visions class. And I thought that was a really great synergy to be going on, for the student to have an academic experience that would line up with what in another context was exploring other aspects of university life. So I found this to be very provocative and a springboard to larger considerations, but I think I'm more optimistic about the students that I'm seeing and interacting with.
Joe?
I don't want to sound pessimistic, so I'm going to try to sound optimistic. I'll start off with this anecdote. First, my background, I've been here for 20 years, and I was born and raised in Nashville, so I'm a big believer in the Nashville community as a vehicle to start to develop some of these critical thinking skills that students may have. I've been with the Visions program since it began, I think, and I also teach a very large first-year class for students in the Department of Special Education, so I have about 100 students every spring that are mostly first-year students, and I spend a lot of time outside of class with those students. So when I looked at this, these are things that I've been thinking about, and I will start off by saying I believe that we're doing a better job of addressing these issues with the Visions program and with the Commons than we were doing 5 or 6 years ago. That being said, I still think, I like Mark's part about thinking about these things, critical thinking, ethics, values, and daily management is going hand in hand. And when I was thinking about today, I was recalled a conversation I had with one of my students in a group setting where I was talking about the opportunities here at Vanderbilt, what a great place it is, and how many, you know, encouraging to, you know, step outside your box, go to another department, go see a talk, hear a concert, something that you're not used to get that experience. And I also sort of talked about opportunities in Nashville and, you know, to get involved, to sort of face your fears and to, you know, stretch yourself as much as you can. And then I asked if there were any questions, and one of the students raised her hand and said, is there a good place to get a haircut around here? So, I think there is this balance between daily management, when I read this, I also thought about this concept of first-year student, and it's really kind of a lumping. And I think there are folks that come here ready to go, who want to explore, who want to challenge themselves. I also think there's a group of people who come in and just want comfort, and they just left an environment where most things were fed to them. It was very structured. Their day started at 8 and ended at 3, and that's what they want to get into, that routine. And I think that comfort level and establishing that comfort level opens the door then for some of these expansions that were mentioned by Mark and that I see every day here on campus. So when I think about this issue, I think I'll speak for myself, and I've initially had expectations that this should start, this critical thinking and stretching should start day one. And in some ways, I think that's probably not the best approach. I think about this as I think about shaping behavior, that get the daily management stuff under control. Let them know sort of that there is some predictability in their day and that there are some, I acknowledge the fact that knowing where to get a good haircut is probably important. Knowing where to go off campus nearby to get a meal is probably an important thing. And but those then sort of create that stability, create that comfort at that level, which I think can be done pretty quickly. And then start thinking about the challenge. And so when I think about how I can do that as a instructor for first-year students, I think about sort of giving opportunities for experiences. And I'm really a big believer that first-year students, and I think this is where the houses have done a great job in these courses that Mark was talking about, and Visions have done a good job of stepping outside that academic classroom a little bit and at least informing people of opportunities to do these sorts of things. And so whether it's a lecture here at the Center for Teaching, whether it's a speaker who's coming to talk about racial issues, whether it's somebody who's doing medical work in the area of disability, provide those opportunities for those folks and sort of encourage them and lead by example. It's for the people who are in faculty here, it's easy to stay in your office. Not my office, but it's an easy place to stay. And I could do my job of teaching and go back to my room. But I think I see part of my job as an instructor of first-year students is to do my research and do my teaching, but also to be a model for those sorts of things. And so if I want to think about a volunteer opportunity, then I should also be willing to say, hey, I'm going to go over here and work with this community center this afternoon. Anybody want to go with me? And I think those kind of experiences, for me, then set the stage for addressing some of these other areas. Well, what did you see today? What did we talk about today? Has anybody ever worked with somebody who was homeless before? How did this compare to that experience? Or no, what did you think about that experience? So I think those sorts of hands-on, non-threatening, non-sort of graded, outside the classroom experiences, creating those in as many of those as we can, modeling those sorts of behaviors with our students can set the motion. And so I'll go back to this issue about when I think about first-year students, they're all different. And the some that look great on paper, you're thinking they're going to set the world on fire, are the ones that want to go to class and that's it. And you have the ones you're thinking they should worry about class, are the ones that want to go out and do different things. So I think this sort of first year, I think of like first year, first semester, and then first year, spring, and how that might work. And I don't disagree a lot with what's being said here in the sense that it's, I don't think it's a black and white thing, though. I think it's an evolution, a shaping, and I see our job is creating opportunities for them to grow in those different areas. That's all I got to say right now.
Well, then, I guess it's to me. Hi, I'm Rourke Luskin. I am the class of 2012, so I'm a sophomore, and so my context is that I was a first year last year. I lived in Stanbaugh with lovely Dr. Patterson, and I'm glad he's here today. And I was a VUCEPTER this year, and I am now on VUCEPT board. And so those are kind of my connections to first year. What you just said, I made note, reminded me of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that what's going to come first is the basics, like the food, the shelter, etc. And, getting a haircut, that I guess could be considered one of those basics. And that, once that's accomplished, you get to move on to relationships, and of course I don't have it, but at the top is enlightenment. And so maybe one day we can all get there. But I think that's a key element to the first year experience, that you're going to want to get that base level done first. And that's kind of, I guess, my very abstract view. But going back to specifically to the questions, I think the biggest definition concern when people arrive here are what other people here are going to define me now. Who will I be friends with? Who will I associate with? What experiences am I going to take on here that will become a part of my definition? And I think that's why I came from a very tiny high school, all girls, 60 of us in my graduating class. We were a tight group. We'd been together for 7 years. And I came here, only person from my high school, and it was so interesting because, especially those of you who are heads of house, I'm sure you notice this, they move in packs. Love the packs in the beginning. And I'm an extrovert. I definitely enjoy talking to people and meeting new people. I view myself as a social person. But during my Common View week, you know, I was a little bit nervous. You know, who will be my friend? And I think what was an interesting experience for me on Common View is that I felt that a lot of people were building relationships around a vacuum. That, oh, you need a friend? Oh my God, me too. Okay, let's be friends. Let's go to dinner together. And that's kind of how things worked. But then once you kind of got the opportunities to be involved in things, like, oh, I'm taking American Studies 100 and I'm planning on being a major. Oh, you are too. Great. We have that in common. Let's talk about politics. And that became kind of building blocks for relationship building. And then once we kind of had our student org fair and we got to put ourselves on email lists, and now I definitely consider myself defined by the group of USEFT and defined by the group of ASB. And I'm very proud now to be integrated and defined by those topics. And those are important changes. So while these abstract ideas of like family and faith, I'm not sure if I've changed those. I'll be honest, I'm still an atheist. Like, no one's converted me in the South. And I think what can be deceptive is I read the article when Derek sent me the email, and one of the comments was, professors, of course you guys want us to engage during class. You want us to be active in discussion and just speak up. That makes everyone's life easier. And I think what can be interesting about that is that a professor will look at that person and say, like, oh, this person is engaging so well with the material. I bet they're really exploring these new ideas, all this stuff. But what I found is that often those that are talking the most are those that are most probably locked down. They're those that feel comfortable being questioned because they feel okay under scrutiny. They know themselves well enough to respond. They can defend their ideas. They feel confident in themselves. And so while that may mean for the professors that someone's really talking in class, which is great, they might not be the ones to change their view. And I think a good goal is for those people to more thoroughly explore why they've created these definitions for themselves. And if that turns into an atheist becoming a Christian becoming an atheist, a Democrat becoming a Republican, whatever flow is happening there, great. They've learned something new and they want to take on a new identity. And that may have been, you know, initiated by them exploring their own ideas. But I definitely don't think a goal should be change. A goal should be a deeper understanding of why you've chosen to define yourself that way. Because so many people come in, like, oh, you're a Republican, why? Oh, that's what my dad votes for. You know, I think that's why a lot of us, and it makes sense, you know. That's what we've been exposed to. It's nature versus nurture, I guess. But I think a very valuable goal to keep in classes is to have students really understand the choices they've made. And I think a good way to do that is, I think it can be deceptive because it's very tempting to assign a lot of readings, a lot of different perspectives. You want to get a lot of different opinions out there. However, sad reality, students are going to figure out which classes they can skim and which classes they're really going to be forced to talk about the material with. And if you guys can pick out kind of your favorite readings, or the ones you think will be most like probing, great. I would do that and really delve into them and really make people talk about them and kind of like don't let them get away with just skimming it. So don't do the whole like load, because I think then people will kind of skirt around what really they should be exploring. Also, I think what I took a small Professor Locke's class. I know he teaches the big ethics, which I took freshman year, and then he teaches a smaller class. And in that class, you got to choose kind of how you engaged with the material. And I think this was a really, really good way to get us involved. We got to choose if we did two really big essays, kind of a midterm and a final, four kind of medium five-page essays or a weekly journal. And it was our choice how we thought we best engaged with material. I'm someone who, while I read a book, I need to highlight and be writing in pen notes on the margins. I like to remember exactly what I thought when I was reading that and how, like, those passages affected me. And so the journal, obvious choice. However, a friend of mine that was in the class, he knew that he should be doing the two big papers because he likes to bring together big ideas over a long amount of time and then synthesize them. And I think that was really, really generous and smart of Professor Locks to kind of be open-ended on his end so the students could best step up to the material. Additionally, I think a challenge for professors is always to answer the so what factor. I'm an American Studies major, and I've got to take math and science. And it's, you know, it's in my axle, it's unavoidable. I'm in baby bio right now, and Professor Wolfley is fantastic. He is making it so fun and so engaging. It's a huge lecture class, very, you know, for students, tempting to skip. And, I mean, I'm bad at bio. I can't be skipping. That's not going to happen. And I've had so much fun in class every day. It's 9 a.m. I never feel sleepy. He always, you know, kind of integrates a YouTube video. And he just makes it engaging. And he knows that all of us are taking it for Axel credit. None of us are going to become bio majors unless someone is kind of magically inspired and then wants to take real bio. But, you know, he knows we're there to get the credit, and yet he comes every day with excitement and passion for the topic, and, I mean, I have to appreciate that and embrace that attitude. Something we've talked a lot about in ViewSept board is what defines academic. What are we trying to achieve when in Vanderbilt Visions, in our sessions? And obviously Vanderbilt Visions is technically not a class. The professor is not fulfilling a professor role. It is considered an equal partnership between faculty and student. And so that's a special situation. Is the goal to teach them something? No, probably not. And so I think it's a very special time to get people to explore things. So, but then you get into questions of how do we judge academic acculturation, which is a little catchphrase that I learned with Derek and Nina and Frank and Nancy. And kind of like the Commons, living and learning community. What is learning? What is the learning that is going on at Commons? And I think that connects to both what Professors Webby and Dahlhaus have been saying, that just talking to people, learning where they come from, why they feel the way they do, and why they've made these decisions to identify themselves the way they have, that is just as academic as reading a book to decide how you feel. Interacting with people and kind of putting like a face or an emotional level with why somebody identifies themselves the way they do is incredibly powerful.
That was Mark Dahlhaus, faculty head of East House and director for the Office of Active Citizenship and Service, Joseph Webby, associate professor of special education, and Rourke Luskin, class of 2012. You can view the show notes as well as leave comments or questions about this episode by visiting blogs.vanderbilt.edu/CFTpodcast. If you would like to share your thoughts on the first-year student experience, we encourage you to stop by our website and join the discussion. Vanderbilt instructors are also welcome to call the Center for Teaching at 322-7290 to arrange a meeting with a CFT teaching consultant to discuss strategies you might want to use when teaching first years. Thanks for listening to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast. Please join us for future episodes by visiting the podcast homepage at blogs.vanderbilt.edu/CFTpodcast or by subscribing to the podcast through iTunes or a similar program. I've been your host, Rhett McDaniel.